Test 5.
Section 1. You will hear a new student, Tom, talking to a student representative called Rachel about university clubs. You now have 30 seconds to read questions 1 to 4.
Hi, welcome to Freshers Week. I'm Rachel. Can I help you?
Oh, hi. Yes, I was hoping to find out about some clubs I could join.
Well, all the club stands are here in this hall. What were you interested in?
Not sure. I wanted to do something where I could meet people.
Well, take this leaflet with details of all the clubs and see what you think.
Oh.
It'll probably depend on what day you're free. Like on Mondays, there's the film club. Then on Tuesdays, you've got the climbing club. That's really good. I'm in that. Then on Wednesdays, you've got chess, if you want something a bit more intellectual. But you should look through carefully because all the clubs run extra activities as well as their normal meetings.
Oh, yes, I see. So, it looks like the film club has discussions after the films. I'd quite like to go to those. Then, climbing. Goodness. It says here that the university has its own climbing wall. That's impressive. And they go on weekend trips.
Mm.
Cool. And it says the chess club normally just does games with whoever turns up. But it also runs competitions sometimes. But I bet you've got to be pretty good to do that.
Yes, I think so.
And how many people are in the clubs? Are they all really full?
Well, obviously they're all different. So, for example, the film club has just increased its membership from 85 to 125. But I think they're hoping to extend it to 150. The climbing club's quite small, 40 people. And the chess club is fairly healthy at 55.
Right. OK. So who do I see if I want to join these clubs?
Well, if you go round the stands and speak to the people there. For the film club, that's the events organiser. For climbing, you'll need the club secretary. And the chess club is organised by one of the maths tutors. OK?
Yep. I think I'll start with the climbing club. It sounds good.
Oh, well, as I said, I'm in that, so I might be able to help you a bit.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 5 to 10.
OK. It says in the leaflet that they get together twice a month. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, you must join. It's really good fun. We go away quite a bit to North Wales. And every year we have a special excursion, usually to France, which is where we're going this year in the spring. The weather's too unpredictable in the autumn.
Wow. That sounds good. But it must cost a lot.
Yeah, but we try and save up for it through subscriptions. So rather than having a huge sum to pay in the month we go, we collect those weekly, so it spreads it out.
Good idea. I think I'll definitely join.
There are quite good benefits you get from joining. I mean, you need that, don't you? And the university clubs normally try and do deals with local businesses, so it's really worth joining. Like in the climbing club, they've got a special arrangement with one of the shops in town. so if you show your card, you can get money off equipment. Don't think the discount extends to clothes, though.
That's really worth it, then. I'll go over and talk to them now.
OK. Hope you do join. Oh, and another thing I meant to say. If you do become a member, you automatically receive a magazine once a year. It's quite useful and interesting because it goes out to all the national climbing clubs. And the other thing is, if you come to every session, then you can get a complimentary ticket to the big exhibition that's held in Cardiff every year. So, hope to see you.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for your help.
That is the end of section one. You will now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 2. You will hear an accommodation officer telling students about different halls of residence. You now have 30 seconds to read questions 11 to 15.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Stanton University. I'm here to tell you about the various halls of residence we have available, should you choose to come here. We aim to offer accommodation in halls to all first-year students, and you'll find there's a good variety to choose from. First of all, there's Brown Hall, which, as you'll see, is not the most modern of buildings, but it is very popular with some students. It's got a good sense of community, some nice refurbished kitchens, and unlike the other halls, it has recently had a gym built in its basement. Another option is Blake Residence, which is built like a large house, and so everybody cooks and eats together. It has its own sectioned-off bit of private garden, and is even more peaceful because this is an all-girls residence. Although, of course, boys are allowed to visit the hall, and I understand frequently take part in cooking dinner. The largest hall we have is Queen's Building, and this has been upgraded recently. The original parking area has been built on so that the hall now has a large common room, and each bedroom now has its own shower room, which many students regard as a real bonus. A further option is the Parkway Flats, which won an award for design in its day. And this building now has a preservation order on it. This has meant that only a limited amount could be done to upgrade it, and the surrounding area is important, so parking is not permitted around the flats. However, the flats do have many extra facilities, such as a special computer room, a small library, and a self-service restaurant. The cost of breakfast, lunch, and dinner is covered in the fees for this hall, so it does look a bit more expensive. The last residence we can offer you is Temple Rise, which again is slightly more expensive than other halls as the rooms are larger. This has got very lovely views across to the coast, and this more than compensates for the fact that bathrooms here are shared between 6 students. However, the hall has domestic staff who clean the rooms once a week, so this is perhaps an attractive option for the messier amongst you.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 16 to 20.
Now, if I can just show on this wall map here where they all are, you might like to go and have a look round. If you come into the main university entrance, at the first junction, you'll find that Brown Hall is on the corner opposite the theatre. So you're nice and near the station here, though I think it can get a bit noisy with traffic. The same applies to Blake Residence, which is directly facing the junction to the university entrance. These halls are often used by medical students and such like, as they're out all day, so don't notice the noise. Anyway, if you then walk along Campus Road towards the main circle, you'll see the library on the corner, and Queen's Building is just past that as you head north. You will find that it is quieter here, and you may get fewer visitors. By the way, the circle is quite a feature of the campus, as it's set into the hills and has a brand new sports center in the middle. It's worth going to look around it. Now, the Parkway Flats are on the opposite corner to the library, facing the circle, as you head towards the main buildings. The main buildings are only about a 5-minute walk from here, and places in these halls go quickly, so my advice is to reserve your place as soon as possible. Then, Temple Rise is inside the circle, next to the sports center, but further from the main university buildings. Now, if you'd like to go off and physically look...
That is the end of Section 2. You will now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 3. You will hear two students, Jenna and Marco, discussing a business studies project they have to do. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 21 to 24.
Come on, Marco. We've got to get on and sort out this project for Professor Buckley.
Hang on. I want to make sure we've got all the information. Now, where are we?
Well, today we need to sort out exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to divide the work up.
Okay. How long have we got, by the way?
The end of term is April 6th. And he said to hand it in on week 8, so that's March 25th at the latest, because the beginning of that week is the 21st, so not long.
Right. Have you got the notes there?
Yes. He wants us to do a fairly small-scale study, like the last one, on whether or not businesses were offering more benefits to staff. Mm. And we've now got to look at the rise in older workers. It should be fairly straightforward.
Yeah, as long as we keep it small. Who's marking it?
I don't know. Sometimes he gets the PhD students to mark it for him.
Oh, actually, it just says here, a senior lecturer. I suppose it's too much for Professor Buckley to do them all.
Yeah. Anyway, how are we going to go about this?
Well, we have to decide how big we want it to be and who...
Yeah, but I think we must sort out a timetable for the project. Otherwise, nothing will get done.
Okay. Do you want to do that?
All right. I'll do it as soon as we finish here.
You now have 15 seconds to read questions 25 to 27.
Okay, what do we have to do now for the project? What's the best way to go about it?
Well, Professor Carter suggested we set up a focus group to get some in-depth interviews, but I think that'll take a lot of time.
Yeah, I agree. If we did a focus group, we'd have to spend time deciding who to include in it, and it's not necessary to do one anyway.
Oh, fine.
And if you agree, I think we should get in touch with the businesses on the list Professor Carter gave us and ask them if they're prepared to participate.
Sounds good. Then we can go there, give them questionnaires and collect them later.
Exactly.
Okay. Then do we need to book one of those study rooms in the library so we can work together to input the data? Perhaps not, as I guess just one of us could just sort it out, actually.
Yes, that would be easier. A lot of what we're doing is qualitative, so it'll be writing up rather than statistics. No software for that, I'm afraid.
And I think it would look better if we had actual shots of some of the staff, because we're citing appearance as a factor in employability, aren't we?
Yeah, okay. I'll factor that all in when I sort everything out tonight.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 28 to 30.
I'm glad we decided to work together. I think it's going to work out well.
Yes, well, given that we had to work in pairs on this project, I think we were right to choose each other. We complement each other academically, as we're each good at what the other isn't. In fact, we should have tried working together before.
Yes. Now, how shall we split the work? I'll do the analysis, shall I?
Oh, okay.
It's just that it might be faster, because I'm used to doing it. Although, your English is better than mine. I need more practice at reading, really.
Okay, I'll do the presentation then, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind speaking in public, but I hate preparing all the notes for them.
The thing is, the tutor said one person should do the whole presentation, and he said he expects me to do it because I haven't done one yet.
No, that's fine. Now, let's see.
That is the end of section 3. You will now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 4. You will hear a media studies tutor giving a lecture about news sources. You now have 30 seconds to read questions 31 to 35.
Okay, now many of you will have heard about the predicted death of newspapers as people increasingly access the TV and the Internet for their news. Today, I want to look at the USA, which has very advanced news sources, to see if this is actually true. In the USA, the main news sources without doubt are TV, the Internet, and the press. That is, traditional newspapers. And although they are each surviving and growing, they are also changing. Obviously, TV news has been around for a while, and the early evening bulletins when people get in from work are very popular. I suppose we traditionally think of the morning newspaper arriving on our doorstep with the daily news. Interestingly, this is not borne out by the statistics, which show that readership in the U.S. is much higher when people have time to relax, when they're not working, especially on Sundays. The Internet is also a popular weekend activity, but shows no variation with weekday access. So people are using the different sources in different ways. Interestingly, local radio has been hit less by the grip of quite strong local newspapers than by the Internet, which is seen to offer a better regional service. But just because the Internet is seen as the new force in news media does not mean it is dominant. Television has, of course, been global for a while. But now technological changes, which have fueled the rise of online news, have also allowed newspapers to print and distribute editions across the world. In fact, Internet news, which is seen as the big competitor for traditional markets, does not offer that much variety. Often, the sources are the online versions of the newspapers, whereas television, in order to offer something different, has had to come up with a much more mixed bag of reporting, from hard news to light reports on celebrity events. Another issue is reliability. The Internet is virtually unregulated, so anything can be reported there, whether true or not. Journalists on newspapers have fought a long, hard battle to fight intervention and to retain the freedom of the press. Television, however, is seen as critical to political power and has become subject to harsh controls about what it can or cannot say.
You now have 30 seconds to read questions 36 to 40.
Now, one very critical factor in keeping newspapers alive and well in the USA has been their approach to advertising. Obviously, newspapers are heavily dependent on advertising revenue, and they have become more and more imaginative in what they offer, in order to make sure that advertisers use them and not other news sources. This has meant that, contrary to popular belief, newspapers now have a significantly higher profit margin than the rest of American industry. So, how have they managed to raise advertising revenue in this way? Well, they have put a lot of effort into developing and maintaining a very strong association with the retail trade. And they've come up with a winner. A critical tool in their sales plan has been suggesting that the adverts they run can have vouchers. This has been enormously effective because they have found that not only do more people buy the paper to get the discounts, but also that this inevitably means much higher sales for the clients who advertised. As well as doing this, the newspapers have also introduced aggressive sales campaigns over the last few years. This has resulted in a significant and continuing rise in the number of advertisers prepared to pay the extra for full-page ads. So, what I would like to move on to...
That is the end of Section 4. You will now have half a minute to check your answers.